Welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. This podcast is for self-employed business owners just like you, who really want to grow their business and become successful and profitable, but without all the stress and hassle. I want to share my 30 years of business experience to show you how simple it can be to earn more money and how you can get organized without needing a business degree or any other qualifications. I'll be talking about the easy steps that you can put in place right now to start earning more money today and to help you get the business that you deserve and dream of. Without further ado, let's get started. This week's podcast is sponsored by Pocket PA, helping self-employed business owners to get organized, understand their finances, and do their accounts all in one place using a powerful online tool. If you're serious about making a profit and having a successful business, then using a simple digital web app like Pocket PA is the best way to grow and scale your business. Visit pocketpa.com for more details and start managing your money like a pro today. Hello and welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. Today, I'm talking with my own podcast mentor, Juliette Nichols, and she's the founder and director of a bespoke podcast production company called Pineapple Audio Production. And it's recently, very excitingly, produced the official Love Island podcast for ITV. I love that. She's also currently working on different series for BBC, Grazia, Metro, and their podcasts have reached over 3 million downloads. That just boggles my brain. And before setting up by herself, Juliette worked for Heart, the UK's biggest commercial radio station, for a decade, and that is no mean feat. So she regularly judges industry awards and has won multiple awards herself. So without further ado, Juliette, hello, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Caro. You've got me all embarrassed with my bio there.
What an intro. Well, it's all very well earned because I know that you are a bit of a superstar. I mean, we were just talking earlier about you getting the gig for Love Island. That's incredible.
Thank you. It was amazing. It's been a whirlwind couple of months bringing that together, but incredible. Yeah, I couldn't have asked for more. It was, it's an iconic show and you find people talking about it literally all over the world. So to be that involved in it, to have all the backstage goss, and it really did take over my life and my team's life for a couple of months. It was a real privilege.
I think it's just incredible, and it's a real testimony that small businesses can win big contracts like that, and nothing is just too big to go for. And we were also talking about how when you're not expecting to get something, sometimes often things fall into your lap because you've taken that pressure off yourself. Did it just really surprise you when you got it?
Yeah, I really think there's something in that, you know, because I went into that pitch thinking, well, we'll give this a shot. And in all honesty, I don't do that much pitching. We've been very fortunate so far. A lot of our work is kind of organically comes to us. And I went into it thinking, well, let's just give it a go. And there really is something in that, just sitting back and relaxing and, you know, just seeing what comes your way, I suppose. It really did surprise me, and it's been a delight and definitely given me some confidence that we're at a certain stage and we can kind of take on whatever projects. We've got that ability, which is amazing.
Well, it's lovely to see you shining your light. So Juliette, I would love you to share with our listeners how you got to this point, where you started when you left school, and what's been happening in between to get you to this point where you've got your own podcast production company.
Oh my gosh, Caro, it's the essence of a squiggly journey, I think it's fair to say, but I'll try and give you the highlights, putting 16 years into a few sentences, but let's give it a go. I loved radio from the get-go. I was a proper radio geek as a teenager. I did that thing that all radio people say they did. I made radio shows in my bedroom. I would record tapes of the top 40 and my own voice, which was awful, still is to some extent, but I've improved a little bit since then, and I wanted to do the radio thing in whatever form anyone would let me. So I did, when I was 14 or 15, I had a community radio show. I'd rope my friends in to be the guest. One of my best friends was the weather girl. Why she did that I will never understand. She was there every week with me, and went into hospital radio. When I went to uni, I went to study English because I knew I wanted to do something in media. I wasn't sure if radio I'd get a shot. I did student radio, and I got into audio by that point because I'd also managed to get a foot in the door at my local, what was then a GWR station, but it's now a Heart station. I'd managed to get myself some work experience, I think just pure persistence. And I was very lucky then. They put me on the, what was the Heart? Oh no, at the time it was the Black Thunders. became the Heart Angels, now doesn't really exist, but was an amazing entry into working in radio because we'd basically be a street team. We'd go out to events, we'd talk to people about radio. And as someone who loved radio, that was just, I could not believe I was being paid to go and chat to people about the thing that I loved. They give us these cool uniforms with the radio station all over it. I thought it was amazing. And I did that throughout my time studying and also worked at a student radio station, just making as much audio as I could.
So you were very much in front of the microphone, actually doing the speaky part of it. Is that so, rather than doing the production, or you were watching and learning and doing both, were you?
A bit of both. I really wanted to give it a shot, being in front of the mic. And I think that's also how a lot of people in radio or audio start, because it's the obvious place to start as a you know, someone outside of that world. It's what you see, isn't it? It's only when I really got into the radio station that I thought, this production thing, that looks cool. Like, and I would actually, I remember being on an internship, that work experience at what is now Heart in Swindon, or was Heart in Swindon. It turned into a longer term kind of internship. I was lucky the summer before I went to uni, I got 3 months there. And I would take my kind of lunch hour and just talk to different people around the radio station and say, like, what do you actually do? Because it was a mystery to me that we needed more than just a presenter in a radio station. But you know, you need sales, you need creatives, you need producers, you need a whole team of people to bring that stuff together. Then I saw the production side, and I loved that, and I definitely did a lot of watching and learning in hospital radio, community radio. And then at the internship, I was lucky enough to shadow an audio producer for 3 months, and I will, you know, I'm indebted to Sean for life, because he let me sit over his shoulder as a 18, 19 year old and just watch. And I fell in love with audio production. It was complete and utter chance. I was put in that element of the radio station for that 3 months. But it was the best thing that ever happened to me, because I went off to uni knowing that that's the job that I wanted to do when I'd finished studying. So I feel very privileged that that was the case, because I could put my time and energy into getting the experience that I needed, because it was a competitive world.
So you came out of uni, and at that point you wanted to go into a job and use your expertise at that point to work for someone. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, I think it's fair to say I always had an entrepreneurial streak. I always had a side hustle. I started, after I was a Heart Angel, I started a kind of event staffing business on the side. I gave that a go. I started a photography business on the side. I did that for a while. So I've always had this kind of side hustle mentality. And I remember distinctly at one stage, I mean, for a number of years, actually, to get the money going to work in radio, I also worked in a bank as a cashier. And I'll never forget my boss saying, you know, you are not cut out for this life. Like, this, I mean, I think she actually said something like, you're the world's worst employee. Like, you're meant to be an employer. Like, this is not, you know. And I think it was the flexibility element of it, because I, you know, the job was the job, fine. But really, I wanted to manage my own time. I wanted that element of, that's the bit that does fire me up even now. And I think that was there from the get-go.
That's such a familiar thread, that we have that pattern where we're either always looking for a side hustle, we love starting something new, we're very creative, we're able to sort of make money doing our own thing. I love that part of being self-employed, and I meet so many self-employed business owners that have that same story.
Yeah, and I think, you know, possibly I fought that element of my personality for a significant amount of time. And I was genuinely passionate about working in a radio station, regardless of whether that meant, you know, working for myself or not. There were a lot of freelance jobs, and to begin with, I did work on a freelance basis. But I think ultimately, I really did want this specific job in London, in the head office, where everything was happening, an audio producer with my own studio. So that was the goal. And I think I probably put the self-employment side of things to one side for a certain amount of time, but it's definitely always been a streak in my personality. And I, you know, I negotiated some working from home. I negotiated working from different offices because I wanted that change, that, you know, that flexibility, I guess, that is now actually bizarrely much more a possibility since COVID, but it wasn't back then. It was unusual back then. So So that's, and then, so I ended up in London working for Heart. That's how it happened, really.
So what was the trigger that brought you to the point where you thought, gosh, I want to open my own Pineapple Audio production? I'm going to move from this lovely job that I've got at Heart, which are where you're obviously incredibly successful. What was it that was going on that made you do that transition?
Well, probably to some extent, you can only fight the kind of self-employed element of yourself for so long, right? You know, I had the dream job. For me, it was the dream job. I had an amazing team. I had an amazing supportive boss. I had all the glitzy, glamorous events to go to. It was fab. But probably nothing kind of squashed that feeling of I really want some more freedom in my life. And I was, again, I would consider myself very fortunate, right place, right time. Podcasts were growing again. You know, they've been around for a long time, but they were in this first initial stage of growth that they're still in. And people started coming to me. I had a little mini studio booth at Heart. And they would come to me and say, hey, can you just edit this podcast? And I remember being like, which is very much my attitude and kind of still is, but I don't really know what that is, but yeah, let's give it a go because it's something different. And I did. And it rolled into, you know, more and more freelance work initially within that same business. And I just became more and more fascinated by it. And I realized there was something in this and that I could possibly find clients outside of that world. And, you know, I kind of grew from there, really. I spent a couple of years building up on the side and, you know, worked a lot of evenings and all my weekends. And how I did it now, I can't really tell you because I really would work a full day, go and work, creating a podcast somewhere, and then always go off to some sort of event in London. I was working and playing and all that stuff. It was great. And eventually
it's like a moonlighting period, yeah. Isn't it, where you're sort of doing your full-time job and you're getting your side hustle up and running, and then you're starting to have to balance and thinking, gosh, the side hustle is actually overtaking my full-time job. And by that point you're needing to balance out and see what the income is against each one to actually think, gosh, is it safe now? Can I shelve that full-time job to move into that new space of your own? Is that sort of a little bit similar to your journey?
Yeah, and I remember that was a scary moment. I remember being at that stage and thinking, right, I cannot physically do this anymore. I can't fit in my social life, my day job, and the work that I, you know, was then super and still am super passionate about. It's really exciting, and it always has been, to go out and find clients and create things for people. And I realized,
but it's like a tipping point, isn't it? It's like a tipping point where you realize you can't carry on doing almost two full-time jobs plus fit in your own life, you know, your own life and your own social events. And you think, gosh, something's got to give. Is it that moment that I'm actually going to say goodbye to employed life? Because I think once you become self-employed, you never go back. Very rarely, do you?
Well, yeah. I mean, 4 years and counting, we'll see. I can't imagine it, but we'll see. I remember the moment, and it was terrifying because I definitely counted Heart as sort of a family feel. It was somewhere I'd been for a very long time. I was very comfortable even having it as, you know, as it was my safety net. And
it's a security blanket, isn't it? And you do feel, you know, you've got that regular income, you know, all the people, it feels you could do the job or the work with your eyes closed. And giving all of that up is a huge step for a lot of people to actually go into that more unknown, even if you've got your side hustle up and running pretty well, because the transition period where you're doing both is one thing, but actually saying goodbye to that security blanket is quite another matter.
It's a complete and utter, for me, it was a complete and utter lifestyle change. But it was something that I had wanted for a long time. And at that point, I remember being terrified, but ready to give it a shot and thinking, right, if it doesn't happen now, it's not going to happen. So let's just jump in. And, you know, I was at a stage in my life where I really had no responsibilities. And I thought, this is it, you know, I can do this now. So I did.
Do you remember thinking back and thinking to yourself, well, what's the worst outcome that could happen? If it doesn't go okay, what would be my next plan?
Honestly, I thought I will always love radio. And I'm sure at that stage, I thought, okay, I'm confident enough that I would go back if that's what I needed to do. But equally, that if I didn't do it in that moment, that I think I would always regret it. So it was time.
I don't think there's any shame in reversing if things don't work out with your self-employed business. I think there's no shame in that. And I think for anyone that doesn't do it because of the fear of not doing it, I think people live with regrets of things that they didn't do rather than things that they did try that didn't work out.
I agree. I think at that stage, I would consider that the regret would be much worse than any kind of, you know, reversing, as you say, which is absolutely fine and would have been absolutely fine. But it was, again, I would consider it fortunate. Obviously, I believe that hard work is a major, major factor in these things. And I slogged it out to get the job at Heart. I slogged it out for years to get Pineapple to the stage where I could consider it a full-time gig, and I still do. So, but I do think that in life, these things, these kind of fortunate happenings have arisen for me. And I was fortunate that similar sort of time that I decided to jump in and make Pineapple my full-time gig, the pandemic went down, and that meant that everything plummeted in business and then absolutely took off for podcasting. You know, people having more time on their hands and also being able to record podcasts remotely, legitimately for the first time, because before that, really, I'd be running from studio to studio around London to make these things happen. Changed things completely for the business and made it so much more of a viable full-time gig. So I do think the timing was amazing, really.
So there was a silver lining in that for sure. And I think self-employment is definitely not a soft option. Sometimes people think, oh, it's so cushy, you get to lie in, you can do your own hours and all that stuff. But you hit the nail on the head. It is hard work. And certainly in the early days, it's certainly not a soft option. But the freedom and the freedom in your sort of mind that it gives you is just so liberating that I think that's one of the big sort of rushes that keeps people in it, that doesn't put them in reverse. So they keep pushing through it to know that there's huge benefits and bonuses out the other side once they can get through those initial startup phases, I think.
Oh, 100%. A slog doesn't feel like that if you love what you're doing. You know, I remember working all the hours under the sun to get into Heart. And the same with Pineapple. I really did work, you know, 20 hours a day sometimes because I needed to pull off edits that just needed to be done that day, or, you know, client pitches, whatever. But it didn't feel like it. It felt like exciting, like you say, a rush, because it was momentum. It was moving in a direction, and it's exciting. So I've always found that exciting, being able to create things for myself. And I know you're the same, Caro. It's that building for yourself.
Yeah, it's building your own empire rather than building someone else's. And I think you're totally right about the podcasting really exploding. And it is still early in the sort of growth of this stream. So if some of our listeners were thinking about doing a podcast, because I know I've been sitting on the fence for ages. I know we've done some talking and you've supported and helped me work through my own ideas and things. But if any of our listeners are thinking that they would like to have their voice out on a podcast and things, there are some really simple things that they can do to get going. And it doesn't have to cost the earth to do that. So what would be the first steps for someone that's giving that some consideration?
Sure. Yeah, Caro, working with you has been amazing. I think actually, aside from working on these kinds, you know, ridiculously big projects like Love Island or, you know, something for the BBC, I get a real pleasure from working with people who are coming into podcasting and who want that kind of guide. I love it. And for me, getting to do a bit of consultancy like that is the ultimate. So I've loved it.
Little people baffing around, trying to sort out my jingle, having to do all the little things that I deliberate over for hours on end, which really don't
need
that much headspace.
It's a pleasure, though. It's a real pleasure, because I think those things, sometimes they have a major impact, you know? Just being able to move your project from something, an idea, into reality with you, it's been a pleasure. So there are really simple things. I suppose ultimately the first thing that anybody needs when they want to start a podcast is an idea, and it's got to be something a little bit different. So I think that's where I'd always start with people, is the concept, and to really give it some thought. So, you know, you might want to speak to some interesting people. You might have ideas of those people, who those people are, and what they might say, but it's finding that creative twist that will make it stand out. That's the starting point. And from there, you can roll with that. You can get yourself a USB mic, these days and plug it in, and it doesn't have to be expensive. You know, you can record this stuff yourself. You can set up pages to get the podcast out there yourself. It doesn't have to be super complicated, as much as obviously we love to be involved in that stuff. We love to like up level that stuff. It doesn't have to be. But I think the starting point will always be getting that idea really polished and something that you could be really excited about.
So there's a whole spectrum of sort of being able to do a DIY version to be actually working with a production crew and recording it in a studio and that sort of thing. But in its essence, for some of our small business owners that might just want to get going, as you said, you know, a mic doesn't have to cost more than £100 if you've got a laptop. Or, I mean, I've heard people doing their podcasts on their phone, and I still listen to some of them. But if you have a computer, you can do it through your own computer. I started off just by creating lists of people that I wanted to talk to, different topics that I wanted to cover off. But you have to choose really, because you could do a series or it could be episodic. Could you just explain the difference between those two types of podcasts?
Yeah, sure. And I suppose I would say, with four new podcasters, possibly doing the series might seem less daunting. So your average series might be between 6 and 10 episodes. That would be your kind of initial series, and then flowing on from there. Whereas a episodic podcast, you're kind of setting yourself up to do an episode a week every Thursday for as long as, you know, you decide to go on. There's a kind of security in saying, I'm going to do 6 episodes, I'm going to see where I'm at, and then maybe I'll do another series, and I take a month between those two series. So I think that's probably the difference. That would be my idea as a starting point, because it's achievable. And that's always encouraging if you're getting started with something that might feel a little bit daunting.
And regarding whether you do it solo or you have guests, what would you say were the differences between those two types of podcasts?
It's a personal preference, isn't it? Because I know I listen and work on podcasts that do a variety of things. I would always advocate for there being more than one voice at a point in a podcast, because it adds a certain level. You know, we're talking about the idea and that USP and that element of creativity. Hearing another person's perspective or voice, just like in life really, can turn the conversation totally, can't it? So I think having guests is always really interesting. I would steer away from having more than 3 or 4 voices in a room generally, because you don't always hear it so well. But if you've got lots to say, and if you're doing short pop, like there's a real space for 5 or 10 minute episodes these days. You know, we're all busy now, we're all running around again, and having 5 or 10 minutes of one person's voice, of someone who's very educated in their field, there's a real space for those. So I think you know you could look at it both ways, really. It depends what you're trying to give the listener as well.
So when I started, my whole concept was that I wanted to talk about small business and things. And I literally had a huge list of all of the topics. And I thought, right, I'm going to just spend this weekend, I'm going to record a whole load of episodes, and they're going to be about 25 minutes long, maybe 20 to 25 minutes. And I literally had this list of topics, and I sat down with my microphone, and it was so hard. I just sat there, right? Yeah. Up. And eventually I managed to get into a bit of a flow. And before I knew it, I had finished everything that I wanted to say. And it was like 16 minutes long. And I thought, God, that was so much harder than I thought. And I sat there and I thought afterwards, there's no way I'm going to be able to do all of these episodes with just me. I listened back, I sounded flat, I was boring. It was just so hard. And so I went away for a week and I thought about it, and I thought, no, I still do want to do the podcast, but I just don't think I can do it on my own. So I'm going to do a guest interview each week. I might do the odd single thing if I really feel that I want to talk specifically, but I don't think I'm particularly eloquent to just talk nonstop about a single topic. Like, I hear other people do it so effortlessly, and I'm so envious of their, you know, articulate nature, that they can just get onto a microphone and just flow and it sounds with such ease. But that wasn't me.
No, Caro, I think you've got a lovely voice, you've got a lovely way of speaking. And I'd also say, don't be fooled by people making it look simple. It's not. The people who make it look simple have probably done it for 20 years. I learned that from my time in radio. You know, they make it sound very simple, but it's certainly not. No one is comfortable talking for 15 minutes. On their own.
I think that's true. Yeah, and I've listened to people, and they have been doing, you know, a 1 or 2 years worth, and I might be coming in sort of at the back end of their first or second year. So I know that I was comparing my beginning with their sort of middle or their end, and that probably wasn't that. That's sort of a typical thing that I do though most times. But I just thought, gosh, it's so much harder than I thought. And now listening back to a couple of the episodes that I recorded right at the beginning, and I've got a little bit more into my flow. So I used to interrupt no end at the beginning, and it was so annoying listening that back to me saying and I've just stopped trying to do that now, or I've learned how to edit it out a little bit more. But yeah, it was so much harder than I thought, and I definitely think the interview thing is definitely of more interest, because there's only so many things that I can say all on my own, and I think hearing somebody else's story brings everything to life so much more,
and it helps you share your story in a very natural way, doesn't it? But the phenomenon of kind of being like, it's so human. It's very human to show, especially as women, we show our interest in what people are saying by doing that, don't we? Throughout that, what they're saying. And it happens across all the podcasts that I work on, really. It's well worth training yourself out of it if you can, but it's tricky. I find myself now just, I'm doing it with you. I can see I'm nodding at you because I want you to know that I'm listening to you, but I don't want to do that. I know you're going to have to edit out afterwards because I know I have to edit it out. It's tricky. It's just human nature.
I've been doing lots of editing. I've learned really well how to use my GarageBand, and I've become like a professional editor all on my own with using my YouTube channel and stuff. So yeah, that's funny. So what would be the benefits to a small business of having a podcast, in your opinion, Juliet?
Well, there are a few different angles on that, I think. The primary one is the marketing angle of giving yourself a voice, a professional voice on the, you know, the topic, the product, the service that you are putting out there, giving yourself that element of professionalism and access for your clients, really, and your customers, you know, them getting to know you and your level of expertise in a podcasting form is invaluable. And I would also say, on a personal basis, like you've been, your progression in podcasting is a personal challenge, right? And
it's a miracle, in fact. I think we should just call it a miracle, because that's exactly what it is.
I wouldn't put it quite like that, but I do think there's a confidence that comes with that, and it plays into all the other elements that really are beneficial of running a small business, whether it's just speaking to people or, you know, public speaking. It's those elements that you will also add to your skill set of when you're making a podcast. So there's a few different angles on that, I would say, but it's something that I think if you are excited about, it's hard to get away from at the minute. You know, it's one of those things. I think a lot of people are saying, oh, I really want to do that. I really want to do that. Put it to one side. No, actually, let's do it, because there's something very exciting about it. And it is an added strand to things that you can be talking about. You know, you put that on your social media. It's a great, it is a great marketing tool for sure.
It becomes your own show, really. It's your own platform to be able to share whatever it is that you fancy, and you will attract the right people to keep listening to you. So it's a very powerful way to get into, be able to let people know and find out about you, because, you know, we're all personable in one way or another to somebody, and it's about finding your tribe. And you don't have to do it so that it is a big, large scale production. And as I say, you can do it on a reasonable small budget. It does take some time. You have to do some editing and that sort of thing. But I think the returns, hopefully, will enable you to get to a much wider audience and to be able to get much wider brand awareness. And you can use it as a springboard then to bring people in. I think that's a great way. And with regards to sponsorship, once you get really big and you're really well known, it could also be another income stream. I know that there are different platforms that you can put yourself on, and they will source different sponsorship deals for you. Is that right?
Definitely. More and more so, that's a consideration, actually, aside from it being, you know, your very own marketing tool, your very own radio show. And if you think about what, you know, what we just said 10 years ago to that, being able to voice whatever you wanted, and actually, as you say, at very little cost, without, you know, you paying for that kind of time and space. I don't know what we just said. It'd be fascinating. So I've forgotten the question now, Caro. Sorry, I was just off my own train then, thinking that's really interesting. What would we have thought 10
Don't
years
worry.
Ago?
I was just saying, about sponsorship, how different platforms can introduce you to sponsorship. So it could be another income stream.
definitely. If you know, I think time and consistency is really important in podcasting, and by no means would I expect that in the beginning, but there really is a space for that now. If you are hitting bigger numbers, companies like Acast and Audioboom, and there are many more, will help you look at sponsorship options. And you could even look at sponsorship, you know, yourself. If there are brands that you connect with or clients that you have that you could offer extra value to, that's a really nice angle, I think, to be able to give them some airtime if there are people that you're working with that you know closely. So there are lots of different options with it. And like I say, that's the real privilege for me, is seeing people on that journey from the very, very beginning into all of that kind of stuff, and you know, numbers, sponsorship, all that. It's very exciting. Very exciting.
And I don't think you even need to be that technical. I know, even though I have made a software tool, I've never written a line of its code. So people do automatically presume that I'm technical, but I'm literally with the next person, looking on Google, watching YouTube, all those sorts of things. And it for a non-technical person like myself, it has been a little bit of a learning curve, but it's not insurmountable. I've been able to navigate, being able to work out how to do my GarageBand editing. I've been able to sort out my microphone. I know it's not Radio One quality, but that's fine. Progress over perfection. And I think it's more important about the message that we're giving. Obviously, people want to listen with as best quality as they can, but I think it's about being relatable and realizing that we're doing the best we can with what we've got. And it's more important to be able to get our voice out, to be able to share what the message is, and to encourage other people, because people, you know, everyone can do something. If you can see somebody else doing it, there's no reason why you can't do it. So why not think about having your own radio show and your own podcast? You can go onto YouTube and have your own like mini TV series, whatever it is. We need to encourage people to be more visible, and especially if they've got a small business, to get that brand awareness out there. So I think this is a really great way to do it. And I love it that you are working with people to help them get onto their podcast journey. So thank you, Juliet. Pleasure. If people would like to find out more about how to connect with you, Juliet, what's the best place? Where do they find you?
Well, we're all over Instagram. So we're at Pineapple Audio Production. We also have a very nice, shiny new website. So that's worth looking at. It's pineappleaudioproduction.com. And there's lots of information on there about the process, about, you know, there's tips and tricks on there. And we've just launched our own podcast as well, which is called Podcasting Playbook. And that's taking people through that kind of podcasting journey, so it might also be useful for people listening.
That's absolutely perfect. So I'm going to put all of that into the show notes, so you will all be able to link straight from the show notes to reach Juliet. But it's been a really lovely episode, Juliet, and I'm so glad we've come full circle, because you were so encouraging when I came to you with my little idea at the beginning, and here we are, it's going to go out at some
point.
Thank
you, Caro.
So thank you.
It's a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Lovely. Well, listeners, I thank you so much for listening to another episode. I hope you have a wonderful week ahead. Earn lots of lovely money with the least amount of stress. And next time, I will catch up with you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. If you've enjoyed this week's episode, then do hit subscribe so we can catch up again soon. And please kindly leave a review if you've got a moment, and share with anyone else that you think this podcast could help on their self-employed journey. If you're ready to make bigger breakthroughs in your business life and want to get way more organized and understand your finances the really simple way, then start your very own 14-day free trial today using the super powerful software tool Pocket PA that I made for my own son and daughter. Go to pocketpa.com/podcast and let's get you on the way to earning more money and stressing much less. Have a great week, whatever you're doing.